if you were to have posters hanging in your bedroom, whose face would be on those posters? Who are your heroes? Always a good question to ask yourself. I'd like to explore a pair of very brief Rambans in Parshas Vayigash that I think will help point us the way to tap into our inner Yosef HaTzadik and to begin to appreciate some of the many, many extraordinary dimensions of Yosef HaTzadik. Because as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, the story of Yosef is one of the longest continuous stories in Chumash. Perhaps one of the longest continuous stories in all of Tanakh. And here's where it gets intriguing. Last week, we had the chance to enjoy a Ramban in Parshas Miketz, who tied together so much of the Yosef story. And last week, we saw the Ramban in Miketz explains that the Yosef's dreams had driven so much of the trajectory, because Yosef had understood that those dreams were not just a passive telling of a story, but an expectation that he would actively seek to fulfill and realize those dreams. But Yosef had understood those dreams to be a nevuah, and specifically a nevuah that contained a tzivui for him. He was being commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to realize, to materialize, to make these two scenes happen. First, dream number one, the 11 brothers bowing down, and then dream number two, the 11 brothers together, the Yaakov together, the whole family. And that's what drives, as we saw in the Ramban last week, that was animating everything. That's why when he lands in Beis Potiphar and then begins to rise with extraordinary miraculous Hatzlach, he says, I can't tell my father, I wish I could tell my father I'm alive, that I'm doing well, but I can't because Kadosh Baruch Hu clearly wants me to manage things so that scene one and scene two, the two dreams happen. And then when he's been waiting, he hears the two dreams of Paro, and Yosef understands it in a way that no one else does, which is in addition to the national peace, there's the personal peace. Now I'm beginning to see how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring my family in stages down to Mitzrayim for dream one and dream two. It's because there's going to be a regional famine, and the food is going to be concentrated in Mitzrayim. I'm beginning to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, Yosef says to himself, and he sits on that for almost a decade. He's waiting for the day when 11 brothers walk in, and he can say, Ani Yosef, and then 10 brothers walk in, and he says to himself, I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to handle this a little differently than I thought he would want me to. I can't reveal myself just yet. I have to have a ruse to bring Binyamin down without Yaakov understanding that I'm here, and everything else unfolds from there into Parshas Vayigash, where finally, after the brothers come down a second time with Binyamin but without Yaakov, and as Ramban said last week, the one last step is to test to make sure that Binyamin will be safe, heading back with him alone, to make sure that there isn't incredible enmity that could jeopardize Binyamin. Yehuda passes the test with flying colors. He's ready to give up the entire rest of his life to protect Binyamin. Yosef says, Ani Yosef Ol Avichai, and now finally the family begins to reconnect. What Yosef had been waiting for decades to do, to let his father know, I'm okay, I'm good, I'm here, I'm in Mitzrayim, come down and join me. And that's beautiful. And we begin, it's beautiful and it's incredibly sad at the same time, because we're seeing the beginning of Galus Mitzrayim. And then yet another layer is at the same time that we're seeing Galus Mitzrayim, and we know, because we learned the Chumash last year, that in a certain sense the worst is yet to come. During the lifetime of Yosef, the segment that's in Chumash Bereishis, things are, they're not in Eretz Canaan, but they're in a pretty good shape. After the death of Yosef, the real Shibud will come in Chumash Shemos. In a certain sense, the worst is yet to come. And yet another sense, maybe digging even deeper, the best is yet to come, because we know, as Yosef and his brothers knew, that the great-grandfather Avraham Avinu had a nevuah, Bris Ben Absarim, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Galus would be a necessary, painful step towards a brilliant future. The galus would be a precursor of becoming Am Hashem, of emerging with physical, material rechush gadol, far more importantly with a spiritual rechush gadol of Torah, and traveling towards Eretz Yisrael. So it's heartwarming on a family level, it's painful over the next number of decades, next couple of centuries, and at the same time beyond that, this is a painful step towards something incredible. But all of this, all these different warm levels, painful levels, extraordinary levels, should end near the end of Parshas Vayigash. It should end with Pasuk Yud Beis, the second Pasuk of Shavi. Shavi opens Pasuk Yud Aleph after everyone has met everyone, and the brothers have met Paro, and Yaakov Avinu has met Paro, and Yosef sees to it that they settle in Goshen. That's the opening of Shavi. Yosef, Yosef es aviv es echav. He gives them Achuza, Eretz Ramses. Yosef is Mechakel es aviv es echav Pasuk Yud Beis. Yes, Kobe's Aviv, Lechem Lefi Hatam. Yosef takes care of his family. They're settled, they're provided for. And after Pasuk Yud Beis, the second Pasuk in Shvi, you would think that the next natural Pasuk is the beginning of Vayichi. Fast forward a number of years. Yaakov Avinu has been Eretz Yisrael for 17 years. And now, it's at the end of his life, we're going to hear in Parshas Vayichi about the end of Yaakov's life and the brachos to Menashe and Ephraim, the brachas to the sons, his death, his kvura, and the aftermath, the decades that follow. What's strange, though, is that Parshas Vayigash does not end at Pasuk Yud Beis. That's only the second Pasuk of Shvi. The Chumash does not skip straight from the second Pasuk of Shvi, Pasuk Yud Beis, to the beginning of Vayichi, which is Pasuk Chaf Ches. Instead, there are another 15 psukim. The last 15 psukim in Parshas Vayigash, from Pasuk Yud Gimel to Pasuk Chav Zayin, are very strange indeed, because they seem to be a total sidebar from everything we've been talking about. This whole glorious story of Yosef's dreams and Paro's dreams, and the family coming down, and the heartwarming reunion, and the painful reality that we're now down in Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu is the only Av who has to go into Golos so often, has to go into Golos for so long. Yaakov is the only Av who will die in Golos. And this is the beginning of Golos Mitzrayim. But what's this about? The last 15 psukim step away from the story of Yaakov and his family. The last 15 psukim, we watch Yosef at work. We hear the whole plan unfold. That indeed, famine sets in further. Lechem ha'ein b'chol ha'aretz. Kachavet ha'rov ma'od. The famine is getting worse. The famine had already begun. That's what brought Yaakov and his family down more than once to begin with. They came down a total of three times because of the famine. The famine's already been ongoing, but now we hear in the last 15 psukim, it gets worse, and we hear about how Yosef's plan is more fully realized, that he continues to open the stores of food, and slowly the Mitzrim keep buying food. And ultimately, they have no funds left, and you see the shift in the whole political economy, and to a certain extent, the whole political system of Mitzrayim. They sell themselves, almost sounds like the rise of a feudal system. They sell themselves to Paro, and there's going to be a tax. It's the first time we hear about a tax. There's going to be a 20% income tax, and everything is produced, and you hear the end of December, people are thinking about this type of stuff. They hear about the first recorded instance of parsonage, a special tax exemption for the Kohanim, for clergy. Fascinating. And Yosef takes care of everyone in Mitzrayim. It's beautiful. It's intriguing, historically fascinating. But why on earth is it in Chumash? This isn't part of the story the Torah is telling us. Yes, Yosef went to work. Okay. We know that Yosef went to work. But again, there are decades and decades of Yosef's life that were, as much as we hear about Yosef, there are decades and decades of Yosef's life that we're not going to hear about. Right? Chumash isn't going to jump to the death of Yaakov many years in the future. But after that, there's almost 90 years age difference between Yaakov and Yosef. So Yosef is at the end of Parshas Vayechi going to die at the age of 110. Yaakov died at 147 when Yosef was, loosely speaking, around 60. So the Chumash is going to skip over the last 50 years of Yosef's life with very little detail about what happened. So why do we need 15 psukim describing Yosef at work? This isn't part of the master plan of the dreams of bringing the brothers down and catalyzing Golos Mitzrayim and everything that would follow. Yeah, what do you say?
You said that they're skipping over the last 50 years of Yosef's life, right? That makes him like 10, maybe came like.
He was 17 when he was sold down to Mitzrayim. He was 30 when he came to Chumash says. He was 30 when he came to Paro. And he's close to 40 when Yaakov comes down. He dies at 110. So what does any of this mean? So the Ramban is bothered by it. Let's take a look. As I mentioned before, I want to take a look at two short Rambans in Parshas Vayigash, which address particular intriguing questions in the Chumash, and I think also give us a sense of whom to look up to. Take a look. Vayelaket Yosef is kol hakesef. That's the second of these 15 mysterious psukim at the end of Vayigash. Perek Mem Zayin Pasuk Yud Dal, the second page in the booklet in front of you. Vayelaket Yosef is kol hakesef. So Ramban Kidarko doesn't directly ask the question, but begins to answer the implied question. Sipra Kasuv Zeh, the Torah tells this story, V'gamar Ha'inyan V'chalar Parsha, and completes the topic that we had already begun. The implied question is, why is the Torah spending 15 psukim telling me all about Yosef at work? Yosef in the palace. So Ramban says, Lohodia Malos Yosef B'chachma B'svuna Uvedas, to tell you Yosef's Milus, in Chachma, Tevuna, and Das, in wisdom. What does that mean? We'll come back to that. Vechi haya ish emunim. And that he was a man of great integrity. We'll come back to that first phrase, the Chachma, Tevuna, and Das. But I'd like to first point out that he seems to be giving two answers. Number one, you see from here Yosef's mental capacities, or whatever that means. His Madregas in Chabad, in Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma, Tevuna, and Das. Number two, we'll have to figure out what that number one is. But number two, v'chiyahaya ish emunim. He was a man, interesting term, a man of emuna. But a man of emunim, he means, so what does he mean? A man of faith, as we'll see, he means of at least in part, of faithfulness. Shehevi kol hakesef beis paro. All this money comes, he brings all this money to Paro's treasury. V'lo asa la'atzma utzaros kesef umatmone mistarim be'eretz Mitzrayim. He didn't have a slush fund. There was no secret account where part of this money was being diverted for him to hold on to himself. No hidden account in Eretz Mitzrayim. O l'shalchol Eretz Canaan. Nor did he have an offshore account in the Bahamas or in Eretz Canaan. Nosan la'melech haboteach bo kol hakesef. The king trusted him, and he returned that trust. He deserved that trust. Every coin, every dollar that came in went to Paro. Rekanolos adama gamagufos. The Torah goes on to say, he was doing brisk business on behalf of Paro. He was acting in Paro. He was a good fiduciary. He was acting in Paro's best interest. Incredible. Umatza bezechein, gam came be'ineam. And he even found chein in the eyes of the people. The people appreciated. Ki Hashem hu amatzliach es yireyav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives hatzlacha to those who fear him. So what did he just say? Consider the following for a moment. Just think about the last 15 psukim in modern terms. The entire wealth of Mitzrayim passed through Yosef's hands over the course of a couple of years. Everyone needed food, and after they ran out of cash, they sold their land, they sold themselves to Paro. Who was the receiving agent? Yosef. The entire wealth of Mitzrayim, in our terms, billions if not trillions of dollars, passed through Yosef's hands, and nothing stuck to his fingers. No, as Ramban stresses, the Paro had total trust in Yosef. There was no oversight. He could have easily diverted a percentage for himself. No one would even have known. No human being would have known. No one was watching. No one was keeping track of him. There were no checks and balances. And he could have easily been more ahead to her. I'm not going to take everything. But look, this is my agent's fee. This is my idea. I'm doing all the work. I'm entitled to be paid. I'm entitled to be paid for my intellectual property, for the idea of developing the system, the solution to the problem of the Rav, and this his incredible idea to vastly root far more stably Paro, to vastly expand Paro's power in Mitzrayim. This was all Yosef's idea, and it was all Yosef's doing. He had the vision, and he implemented it. He easily could have been more ahead or liatzmo. He could have rationalized himself that I'm entitled to some cash. And no one would have been the wiser. No person would have been the wiser. And the Ramban says the Torah is giving me these 15 psukim to say, look at what integrity looks like. Perhaps Yosef learned this from his father, who was also a man of extraordinary integrity, who is the halachic paradigm of integrity. The conversation, the showdown he has with Lavan at the end of Parshas Vayetze is quoted in Bav Metzia, is quoted by the Rambam Hilchos Chiras as the paradigm of what an honest employer looks like. Yosef Yaakov says to Lavan, I put in 60 minutes to the hour, I was there in adverse conditions, I was there in terrible weather, you paid for my time, and you had my time fully. B'chol kochi. That was Yaakov Avinu. Now Yosef is showing us yet another extraordinary, just stop and think what Yosef did in our contemporary terms. That's wild. There was zero oversight. Billions, if not trillions of dollars passed through Yosef's hands over the course of just a couple of years. He transforms the entire, radically transforms the entire Egyptian economy. He radically transforms the entire political system of Mitzrayim. No one is looking over his shoulder. Ein potzapeh mitzafteh, and he is 1,000% honest. Arguably, that might have been an even greater nisayon than the nisayon of Eishes Potiphar. And we think of Yosef HaTzadik. Why do we call him Yosef HaTzadik? He was only been nisayon. And Eishes Potiphar certainly was, if you stop to think about it, an incredible nisayon. He's an attractive guy. The Chumash tells us he was a very, very attractive guy. And she noticed that. She's a very, very powerful woman. He had every reason, and she was pressuring him to be mezana with her. He had every reason to say yes. Personal taiva, social climbing, pressure. He had every reason to say yes. And Hefsed Aveira Keneged Sara, but he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what he says to her. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to do this. The Musjikin Shalvin Yerzal Bachalon, he sees the image of his father. He takes after his father, he draws strength from that, and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't want me to do this. What an incredible Amidah B'Nisayon. It could be, the Ramban doesn't stress this, but once Ramban points out the Nisayon that these psukim are speaking to, these psukim, then the Vayigash, arguably that was even greater Nisayon. Can you imagine that? That amount of cash, that amount of the whiff, the aroma of power. Power corrupts. Absolute power, as the saying goes, corrupts absolutely. Yosef is the most powerful man. He's running the whole show. All the wealth of the area is passing through his hands. No person is watching. I keep saying no person is watching, because as we've seen throughout, Yosef is the original, one could say the original Baruch Hashem Jew. Right? He's comfortable talking about Kadosh Baruch Hu, Elohim, in every context. He's absolutely proud to say, I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my understanding of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me, will absolutely drive and shape the decisions that I make. And it's interesting, as I said before, the way the Ramban introduces this idea here is that Yosef was an ish, what did he say? Emunim. So how do you translate that? So he was a ne'eman, he was faithful in terms of integrity vis-a-vis Paro. It may be a double entendre. Because the Ramban is choosing the term because it has a double entendre, it has two meanings. And they're both relevant. He was a faithful person, a person of integrity. And that where did that integrity come from? Because he was a man of emunah vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu was absolutely profound and totally pervasive in the best sense. So that the Ramban says, you want to know why did the Chumash spend 15 psukim? All this real estate? And Chumash telling me about Yosef at work, where's the Nevuah Shehutzrach L'Doros? Yes, of course, Yosef had a job, he had to go to work. But why do you and I need to hear about it? Ramban says, the second explanation he gives is because he's the hero whose face is on the poster in your bedroom, figuratively, if not literally. Because I want to tap into my inner Yosef HaTzadik. Because when I'm going to be in a difficult spot, and they could be difficult in the Sionos, there'll be nisyonos of honesty, I'll say, but Yosef could do it. Wow. This is a living model of what it looks like to be a person who does the right thing despite every reason not to. 9-10 figures of dollars passing through my hands, zero oversight, zero olam hazeh reason. No person will know whether I do the right thing or the wrong thing. I could convince myself that I'm entitled to it, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't want me to do it. I'm an ish emunah, and therefore I'm an ish emunim. And he says at the end, what's fascinating is that the people loved and appreciated him. You would have thought that last line, U'matzav ha'zechein gam kein be'eini ha'am. He was no sechein in the eyes of the people. You would have thought that here's a man who stripped them of their freedom, they could have said. They could have seen Yosef as a terrible persecutor. But instead, they saw Yosef correctly as a person who had the vision and put in the hard work to save them. He saved the entire country. Literally, they would have starved to death. There would have been millions of people dead in the streets were not for Yosef. But the public perception is a funny thing. And people wouldn't necessarily have seen Yosef in such a positive light. And it's accurate. It made sense. It was rational. It was rational for the people to love Yosef. But you wouldn't have expected that practically that's what would have happened. You would have expected the politics to be such that people would end up hating Yosef. And Ramban says that was special siyata d'shraya. Motzav ha'zechein gam kein be'eini ha'am. The people loved him as well. Why? It's surprising that the people loved him. You would have expected it would have been more cynicism. You would have expected it would have been more discomfort with Yosef. Why? Ki Hashem hu matzliach es yireyav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving hatzlacha to those who fear him. In other words, he's saying, in a certain sense, although these 15 psukim are sort of separate from the whole major trajectory of the story, the major plot, so to speak, which is the following Yaakov and his family from Eretz Canaan into Galus Mitzrayim. At the same time, this is a sidebar, but this fits right in because this is yet another example of Yosef's hatzlacha. We've seen that word time and again. Yosef is zochet to remarkable hatzlacha. Hatzlacha in Beis Potiphar, hatzlacha in jail, hatzlacha with Paro. Now he says, as a public figure, you know, for the first 7 years, people might not have had so much, you know, the average man on the street might not have had so much interaction with Yosef. He was the Secretary of Agriculture. He was going around making arrangements and putting things aside. What did the man on the street know about Yosef for the first 7 years? Probably not much. But beyond the first 7 years, after the 7 years of plenty were done, and the years of famine set in, people started to have plenty to do with Yosef. And Rabban is saying, that too was yet that same pattern recurring. Again, extraordinary hatzlacha. You would have thought maybe it wouldn't have worked out. Or maybe it would have worked out practically, but it wouldn't have worked out in terms of public opinion. But even that worked, the Hatzlacha was a result of his Yirat Shamayim. He was a man who was comfortable speaking about Kadosh Baruch Hu in all places, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him extraordinary siyata d'shmayim. And if we're looking to Yosef as a model of what it means to stick to your convictions, and to have the clarity of what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually want of me, as we've been talking about Zahirus and Mesillas Yesharim last couple of weeks, to think through clearly what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually want, to ask that question is the driving question, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want, and then to be able to act on it. So we saw it by Eishes Potiphar. We see it extraordinarily here with all this money. You see it also, let's take a step back for a moment, and then we'll end once again here in Perek Mem Zayin. But let's step back for a moment to earlier in the Parsha, the other page in the packet that you have, the last Ramban in Perek Mem He. Much earlier in the Parsha. Yosef reveals himself to the brothers, and Ani Yosef, Od Avichai, and they're stunned, and then they reconnect, and then the brothers head back to Eretz Canaan. Go bring Abba down to Mitzrayim. Vayidabru, here we are in Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chav Zayin. Vayidabru, love is called Divrei Yosef. They told, what exactly did the brothers tell Yaakov? The Chumash is actually surprisingly uncommunicative about that. You hear in Pasuk Chavav, O Yosef Chai v'chihu Moshe b'chal Eretz Mitzrayim. And initially, Yosef is alive and he is at the top of the totem pole. And at first, Yaakov doesn't even accept it. Lohem in lohem. And then Pasuk Chav Zayin, the Pasuk of the Rabban, is commenting on the last pasuk in Revi, by Dabru Elav is called Divrei Yosef. They tell him all the things that Yosef had said, Asher Dibe Elohim, and Yaakov sees Zagalos. What exactly did they tell their father? They told their father Yosef was alive. They told their father that Yosef now is alive, but thriving. And they even told him everything that Yosef had told them. What's missing? Yeah?
Good.
Right, Rashi quotes from Chazal that when he sees the Agalos, yeah, no, Rashi does not quote, but I think it's but the Midrashim do suggest that he sees, as you're saying, he sees the Agalos, and the Agalos, the type of wagon called Agala, as opposed to Yosef having sense, I guess some other type of wagon, was a play on words, was a visual pun, because Agalos is spelled the same as Egla. Egla Rufan, that brought back the last sugya that Yosef had learned with Yaakov. What doesn't appear in the Chumash is, how did Yosef get to Mitzrayim? It says Ramban, Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayidabru Elav Hizkol Divrei Yosef. They told him everything that Yosef had said, which includes what? Yeroi Li Al Derech HaPshat. Ramban says, I think al pipshul shamikra, that star sent you down to the bottom. Rav Shavel points out there are midrashim that assume otherwise, but Ramban thinks al derech hapshat shalohu gadli Yaakov kol yamav ki echav machuros Yosef. Did Yaakov ever know the real story? Did Yaakov ever know about machuros Yosef or not? Central question, because here it's very unclear. It's left very ambiguous. Ramban says, I think if you look at the evidence in the psukim. So the Arma Drashim, that they interpret various psukim in Birkas Yaakov and elsewhere as referring to aspects of Mechiras Yosef. Rabban thinks, al pipshuto shel mikra, no one ever told Yaakov. Chashav ki yayeh tal basadeh. How did Yaakov make sense of it? We knew that he was lost in the field. He had seen the Ksonas Pasim. So there had been, obviously, some sort of violent attack on Yosef. Ramotzim oso lekachuhu machro oso mitzrayim. He must have been, I thought he was killed. Or left to die, it must be instead. Someone found him, and they sold him, and he ended up in Mitzrayim.
Ki echav lo ratzu la'agid lo chatasam.
The brothers did not want to tell Yaakov of their chet.
Af ki yaru l'navsham.
They were frightened. Pen yiksof yikalalem. Kasher asa beruven shim v'levi. They were worried that if they tell Yaakov the whole truth, he'll curse them. And indeed, there was reason to be worried about that. The Birkas Yaakov for Reuven, Shimon, and Levi aren't necessarily such brachas. They're klalos. So the brothers were worried, if we tell them what we did, we'll all get klalos. So there's a lot to say about that. The evidence of Kanu Lakan. But listen to what he said. Here's the flip side of this. Think about this from the Yosef perspective, because that's where our focus is this morning, is thinking about Yosef. If the brothers never told, or as the Ramban said carefully, lo hu gad li Yaakov, it was never told to Yaakov. Who could have told Yaakov? Well, the brothers could have told him, and the Ramban says, and the brothers, they didn't want to tell him. They were afraid of how their father would react. So they didn't lie, they didn't tell the truth. But Yaman could have told them, and Yosef himself could have told them. Yosef b'musaro hatov, with his good musar. In other words, in the Rabban's language, that's midos tovos. That's what we would call midos tovos. Lo ratza lahagidlo. Can you imagine that? They spend 17 years together. The last 17 years of Yaakov's life, he spends in Mitzrayim, and Yosef is there. And it's hard to even picture how wonderful those last 17 years were. Yaakov had a special place in his heart, for better or for worse, for Yosef. Maran Shabbos says that showing favoritism is an incredibly unwise and destructive thing. The Gemara's line is because of a couple of pounds of silk, Klal Yisrael end up in Mitzrayim for hundreds of years. One of the lessons of this story, according to the Gemara and Shabbos, is don't play favorites with your kids. Love each and every kid individually and uniquely. But Lamasa, for better or for worse, Yaakov did have a special relationship with Yosef. It must have been incredibly special years. After all of these, over two decades of pain, of loss, to spend the end of his life with Yosef, Shepi Nachas, must have been incredible. Can't even imagine what those conversations were like. There were 17 years of opportunities for Yosef to have told his father what happened. One imagines there may have been 17 years of moments when Yaakov, sort of these, you know, pregnant pauses between Yaakov and Yosef, where perhaps Yaakov was waiting for Yosef to fill in more details. And Yosef didn't say. Yaakov didn't say. Yosef didn't say. B'musaro hatov. But think about the midos. Can you imagine? His brothers' mamash sold him down the river. His brothers tried to kill him. His brothers tried to destroy him. And here he is, mamash taking care of the entire family and not letting anything slip for 17 years. Wow. Lo ratzal hagidlo. He wasn't going to tell his father. And he says that's why. And here's his proof. His proof is that at the end of Ayichi, after Yaakov passes away, the brothers make up a story. The Ramban understands it, that it was made up. That, oh, they tell Yosef after Yaakov passed away, you know, your father told us to tell you, don't take revenge on us after he does. You remember that Esav, a generation earlier, Esav had said, once my father Yitzchak dies, I'm gonna kill Yaakov. So the brothers were worried, and they said, oh, Abba said to tell you that you should be kind to us, spare us, even after you pass away. And Yosef begins to cry, what do you think this is? No, Havamin, I would try to hurt you. But Ramban reads it as the brothers made it up. He says, and I'll prove to you the brothers made up. Ilu yada Yaakov bein azeh yoroi lehem sheichalu pnei avim b'moso. Letzavos says Yosef Mipiv. If Yaakov knew, they shouldn't have waited until afterwards to tell, oh, Yaakov told us, Abba told us. They should have spoken to their father directly and said, please tell Yosef while you're still alive to be kind to us. Yisa panav the yamras to Dharu. If Yaakov would have told Yosef, he would have listened. Lahayi b'sakana, they wouldn't have been in danger. They wouldn't have had to make up a story. So Ramban said, you see from the end of Ayichi, that must be, that's his major proof, Yaakov never knew. Which means the brothers didn't tell him. Okay. But inspiringly, means Yosef didn't tell him. Wow, talk about Yosef Hatzarek. Talk about Amida bin Nisayon with Eshes Potifar. Amida bin Nisayon with the trillions of dollars. V'chihaya ish amunim. And in a personal sense, 17 years with his father doesn't once let slip a remez that his brothers had totally tried to destroy him in the worst way possible. Such a hero, a real Jewish hero, a real Gibra, Ezel Gibra Kovash Yisro. We don't hear about Yosef's bodybuilding prowess. We don't hear about his pecs and his delts. But he was a real Gibra in Pinyas. Ezel Gibra Kovash Yisro. Wow, again and again and again. This is a trifecta of almost unimaginable nisyonos. With Eshes Potifar, with the total GDP of Mitzrayim, and with his brothers standing vis-a-vis his father. And totally breaking the pattern of how it had been the previous couple of generations in the family. Now he does not go after his brothers, but he's misgabber to never let slip a remez, a hint, a wink, that would have thrown his brothers under the bus. Unbelievable. Unbelievable clarity about what's important. Unbelievable implementing on that clarity. And finally we close, moving from Zahirus, perhaps, to Zrizus. Because you remember, the Ramban with which we began and with which we returned to close, he has given two Teirutzim. Why does the Torah spend 15 psukim, the last 15 psukim of Vayigash, on a profile of Yosef at the office? So the second answer was, V'chiyaya ishamunim, to show us what it looks like, to give us a model that we can look up to, that we can be inspired by. Tap into your inner Yosef HaTzadik. Beam you, statistically speaking, it's likely that many of you will at some point in your lives face nisyonos of integrity, face nisyonos of honesty, whether at work or otherwise. There'll be a report to sign that isn't false, but isn't totally true, and you're the man who's supposed to sign it so we can move ahead. You'll be the senior engineer on a project, and we need you to sign off so that all the electrical work is done so we can move ahead. Everything is in place so we can move ahead. And there'll be pressure. There'll be pressure to put your name down. There'll be potential reward. It's not totally gezel. It's ta-ta-ta-ta. You can be more heter. It's a tap into any Yosef HaTzadik and say, no, Kadosh Baruch Hu expects me to be a person of shining integrity. That's lesson number two. Lesson number one was very quick. To tell you the milos of Yosef, b'chachma b'tunah v'das. To tell you Yosef's strengths in wisdom and understanding. What does that mean? Yosef's a really smart guy. He's a really smart guy. Yeah. So Talmud pointed out a couple of years ago that the Ramban, in last week's parsha, Perek Memal of Pasuk Lamed Gimel, when Yosef originally makes the pitch to Paro, he interprets the dream and says, here you need to hire a person who's a Navon v'chacham, or he needs to hire a person who has all these qualities. And Paro says, you've described yourself very well. In Shani of Miketz, Yosef says to Paro, here is shot in your dream, the 7 years, and the next 7 years, at the year of power, ish navon v'chacham. He says to power, you now need to hire a man. Here's the skill set that you're looking for, a navon and a chacham, to implement this whole plan. And power says, you're the one. Navon v'chacham, and shlishi. Power says, yes, you are a navon v'chacham. Ein navon v'chacham kamocha. So Ramban there seems to interpret, I'm not going to take a look inside now, but you can take a look, mem aleph lamed gimel. That means that you need someone who's both an insightful manager and a capable technician. A technician in the sense, I think that's what he means by chacham, you need someone who has the technical know-how to be able to work out the logistics of how you're gathering all this tefuah, how are you going to preserve all the tefuah. You need a lot of technical knowledge. You need a good engineer. You need a technician, a chacham. You also need a navon. You need a competent manager. This is not just a question of technical know-how. You need someone who can work with people. People, someone who has good street smarts, who'll be able to manage people, to manage the operation, to be able to interact with the people, many different stakeholders here. You're dealing with farmers, you're dealing with staff, and you're dealing with customers, clients, or all of Mitzrayim, and to a certain extent even beyond Mitzrayim. So you need a navon and a chacham, a manager and a technician. Okay. So it could be that's what the Ramban is saying. But on the other hand, why do we need to know that? Shkoyach. So Yosef had many strengths. Why is that inspiring to me? Why is that Nevu Shotzer Haldaros? So it could be he means beyond that, the second Teretz was a Teretz of Zahirus, that he had clarity of what was right and what was wrong, and thought it through, and acted on made decisions and acted based on what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want him to do. If the second Teretz, Chiyaya Ishamunim, is a Teretz of Zahirus, the first of the Midos in the Mesil Sharm's count, maybe the first answer is Zerizus, the second of the Midos in the Mesil Sharm's count. Because the Ramchal, in the Prakram of Zerizus, talks about enthusiasm and energy, getting on task. Kodim HaMaisa, Zerizus, Kodim HaMaisa, Kodim HaSchalas HaMaisa, and Zerizus L'Achar HaSchalas HaMaisa. There's the energy and enthusiasm, what we usually refer to as Zerizus, running to do something. Running to get started. That's one type of energy and enthusiasm. The other type of Zerizus is after you got started. In contemporary terminology, in contemporary parlance, we would say to be a starter and to be a closer. Some people are great starters and some people are great closers. Some people have, the visionaries who have the idea and let's launch something new. They're not necessarily, the guy who has the great ideas and wants, has this great initiative, isn't necessarily the person who can see something through to fruition. He'll sometimes sort of lose focus and move on to something else. Oftentimes a starter. Then you have people who are closers, who aren't the visionaries, who aren't going to think of the new idea, who aren't going to pitch the new idea. But if something's happening, they'll jump in and they'll help see it through to the end. The closers. And Ramchal writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us to work on both. We have to develop our starter muscles and our closer muscles. We have to develop our Zerizus, Kodem HaSchalas HaMaisa, getting on it, getting it going, getting it started. And we have to develop our Zerizus, L'Achar HaSchalas HaMaisa, our capacity to keep it going, see it through to the end, to be a starter and to be a closer. And I think perhaps that's what Ramban means here. Not just that that Yosef was a Navon V'Chacham, since he had all these fantastic skills, that he had technical know-how and he had people skills, but also that he was the one who had this vision. He had pitched it to Paro, and Paro was Miketz. Here's your problem. He diagnosed the problem. He suggested a solution. He drafted the plan. Here's the vision. The same man who had the vision, who understood the problem, saw beyond and sketched out how we could do it, was also the man who had the capacity to actually see it through. And here you see, this is the other half of Miketz. In Miketz you saw, he said, oh, those are the dreams, here's your problem, here's what you got to do. Get the right people, get the right staff, make this happen. Here's the picture. Shockingly, Yosef was also the man who actually implemented it. And that's what, perhaps the first test for Ramban, is the point of these 15 psukim, we say, a model of the Midah of Zerizus. A model of here's a man who had a vision and actually made it happen. And saw it through. Too many people would have that vision but not have the consistency to see it through to the end. But Yosef was different. Yosef, a man who was an incredible visionary, an incredible starter, and also was a very, very effective closer. A very, very effective implementer. He saw the big picture. He also made all the details. All the trains had to run on time. Everything had to actually work. It's a nice picture. Yeah, well, we'll go around Mitzrayim over 7 years. We'll collect this, we'll collect that, we'll put it aside, and then we'll distribute it over the next 7 years. Great idea. But as we all know from experience, a lot of great ideas don't end up working. Usually great ideas don't work out quite as well as they were planned on. The devil's in the details, and the rubber hits the road. It's okay. But, people forget this, and that screw wasn't tightened, and this detail wasn't thought about, and things weren't really, carried out quite as tightly and as thoroughly as they could have been, and people were asleep on the job. And the final result is, okay.
Better than nothing. Not Yosef. Yosef? Yosef the visionary was also Yosef
the details man. Yosef who actually made it happen. And made it happen La Mahadrin. It worked phenomenally. He was all in. So that's these 15 psukim, which when we began earlier this morning, seemed like they don't really belong in Chumash. Like, it seems almost like a hafsaka. The work of Vayigash is over. Bnei Yisrael have landed in Mitzrayim. The dreams are realized. The Jews are settled. And now we'll move on to Vayichi and the end of Yaakov's life. What are these 15 psukim doing here? Why? Who needs them? Just to watch Yosef at the office? What am I, over 3,000 years later, supposed to learn? 3,500 years later, what am I learning from Yosef at the office? A lot. We're learning Zahiris and we're learning Zrizos. We're learning what it looks like to be an intensely honest man who lives his convictions and actually does what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to do and actually lives what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to live, even when there's incredible nisyonos with Eshes Potiphar, with Yaakov and the brothers, and with trillions of dollars of Egyptian wealth. And we're seeing what maybe for some people is even more impressive is this, not only is the Zahiris of Yosef, but the Zerizos of Yosef. That the man who had the vision was also the man who actually made it work. You can have a vision, and you can make it actually a reality. You can realize your vision. It's hard work. It takes Musaro HaTov. Yosef's Midos Tovos are on shining display. And that's part of what we're meant to draw from the extended story of Yosef HaTzadik. Is I asked you when we got started, you know, who would be on the proverbial poster on the wall? The Torah is showing us Yosef HaTzadik. You tap into your inner Yosef HaTzadik. The difficult Nisayon is overwhelming. Tap into Yosef HaTzadik. There's a vision, there's an idea you have, I'm not going to tell anyone about it. Go for it. Pitch the idea. Tap into Yosef HaTzadik. There's a vision that's already on the ground, but is it actually going to happen or it's just going to be a nice idea? Tap into Yosef HaTzadik and make it happen. This is some of what Ramban points out, B'nesek Lashono, of the beauty and the power of these Pesukim and Chumash.